This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to the Morning Run with Xiaoning and Lin Mark. It is now 7:45 in the morning, Friday, 2nd of October. And we're going to be talking about the Shared Prosperity Vision, or SPV 2030, which will continue to take shape under the leadership of Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. Now, this was actually launched by the previous Pakatan Harapan government, but our Prime Minister says that his government is still focused on rolling out the policy to provide a decent living standard to all Malaysians, regardless of ethnicity, social class and location. And the aim is to do this in 10 years.
So he recently set up a Shared Prosperity Action Council, which he will chair to act as a top-level monitoring mechanism so that these SVB objectives can be achieved. Now, admittedly, the policy is not an easy one to roll out, especially when the question of inequality has long been grappled with by administrations in the past. Just how will SPV 2030 be realized in 10 years amidst a pandemic, a weak economy, and continuing identity politics all thrown into the mix?
So to help us answer that question is we have on the line with us Firdaus Rosli, Director of Economics, Trade and Regional Integration at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, Malaysia. Thank you for joining us this morning. Now, I want to know, where do we begin in ensuring equal wealth distribution and bridging that income gap?
I somewhat have this feeling that there is interlingual rendition between what PM said in his speech and what was published in the media. Well, at least how I understand it. So in the speech, he says, he said, mencapai pertumbuhan yang mampan seiring dengan pengagihan ekonomi yang adil, saksama dan inklusif. The last words, adil, saksama and inclusive, means fair, just and inclusive. He did not in any way infer to anything equal. That's the first part. And in the second part, he also said, menangani jurang pendapatan dan kekayaan rakyat, which can be translated into to address the income gap and wealth of the people. Again, he did not touch on the word equal. So if we were to say that the idea behind SPV is to ensure equal wealth distribution and bridging the income gap, that would mean a totally different thing from what I understand based on the speech. Because equal cannot be fair, and also vice versa. And similarly, equal cannot also be free, because free is not equal. So when he says equal, that everyone has to be divided into equal share, whereas as far as fairness is concerned or just, then it should be fair to those who are in the deserving lot versus others. So there are two different public policy perspectives that we can look into here. So at the end of the day, there will be a big trade-off between distribution and growth-related policies. Because I think in the era of COVID and pre-COVID, growth matter most rather than distribution. Because without growth, you cannot distribute. Because if we were to go on the distribution mode, we have to take into account that what are we going to distribute with? I think that is the underlying question that we have to answer.
Okay, I just want to backtrack a little. Can you elaborate on the equality versus fairness point you just made earlier, please?
Here's the thing, right? If the word that was used was equal wealth distribution in both Malay and the English translation, it would mean that we are moving towards a more egalitarian society, which means everyone is equal in the eyes of public policy, which means that, you know, we would have to go very deep into how our wealth policies are being formulated. And when it comes to wealth, it's not just money, but also land that we have. What about the role of states? Because that distribution policy, although it is being inspired at the federal level, so it would have to also be translated at the state level. That's one thing. If we were to say fair, so it's more of a utilitarian kind of perspective, which means that it not necessarily be equal, but it will be fair for everyone. So, you know, it not necessarily be equal in the latter, but in the former, everyone has to be equal, which means that the distinction between those two different public policies would have to be translated in actually many different ways.
So what are your thoughts about what the governments, both previous and current, have done so far in addressing the needs of the B40? I mean, what really needs to be considered in the long run then?
All in all, I think the government in general, has done a fairly good job in this respect, because I think over the years, our labor laws are becoming more progressive with the introduction of minimum wage. We have institutionalized distributional policies like BRIM, BHH, and now Prihatin, etc. We have also addressed the tangible aspect of the B4T, which is the mode of transport or infrastructure development. We have a more progressive social safety net today. But I must say, in the long run, we have to think very deeply on how we're going to sustain these programs, which means that it has to be done through fiscal means, which also means it has very less to do with economics, but more to do with politics, because the economic efficiency and political feasibility of these programs will have to match in the future.
Yeah, but won't the identity politics derail the country's policy making, especially in rolling out the SPV 2030?
Contrary to popular belief, I don't think it will derail our policy making space, because I think for as long as we inherit the Westminster parliamentary system, policy making lies in the hands of the government of the day, with very minimal obstacle from the regulatory perspective. But having said that, although I mentioned that it will have little obstacle from the regulatory perspective, whether the rakyat is convinced of the government's intentions or not, that's another story altogether. Let me give you an example. Way back in 2015, it was economically sensible to expand the tax base through the GST. But it came with a very high political cost. So it was the right thing to do from the economic perspective, but politics is a question mark. So, you know, whether it was a question of timing or whether it was a question of how it was rolled out, I think with or without identity politics, I think it's immaterial, because our Westminster parliamentary system will ensure that government of the day was still able to dictate the policy making space for the government.
So do you think the objectives of SVP 2030 is realistic and actually achievable in 10 years then?
When the SVP was announced, COVID was nowhere in the picture. But today we are in the COVID era. So I think in the COVID era, growth matters a lot. And having little to distribute means nothing. So whether or not the SPV 2030 is realistic, it would depend highly on how the government would manage the fiscal constraints, mostly in the immediate to short term, to preserve what we have today and to contain and maintain the spread of the virus is of utmost importance, because we cannot afford to have another round of supply disruption, because that would mean, you know, there will be more need for fiscal policy to smoothen the impact of the virus moving forward.
Thank you for your time. That was Firdaus Rosli from the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, Malaysia, highlighting that, you know, once again, COVID-19 plays a great role in whether we can achieve our 2030 SPV vision. I think, yes, there are many obstacles. And at the moment, it seems that the focus is very much on growth, like what he says. And yes, we can get deep into the weeds as to whether it's fairness, equal, and whether what is just. But I think at the moment, if you just look at the unemployment numbers, right, that's really the here and now focus of, I think, not just Malaysian government, but governments around the world. The question, of course, is you want more stimulus, but what are our realistic fiscal constraints? And they are real, because we know oil prices are just hovering around $40 a barrel. Tax revenues has also come down because businesses are affected. Some of us are also, you know, jobs have been lost, so the income tax collection is also much less. So a lot of headwinds, but doesn't mean that we shouldn't keep our eye off this long-term vision that we want to achieve. What do you think, Lynn?
Yeah, I think Firdaus made an interesting point about the difference between equality and what is just, right? But he also did talk about whether or not he expects identity politics will really impede the country's policy making. And he doesn't seem to think that that'll be the biggest challenge that's going to face this shared prosperity vision. But our voters on the poll that we have running on the Twitter account appear to disagree with him, because we asked you what will be the biggest challenge to the government in trying to achieve the shared prosperity vision 2030. And 71% of our nearly 200 voters said politics, 13% said COVID-19, 14% said economic conditions, another 1.5% said they weren't sure. I guess it just goes to show that Malaysians, we really aren't very optimistic when it comes to our political situation here in the country, are we?
No, I think there's a bit of a political fatigue, unfortunately, with all the headlines coming across. But we are about to head into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, and after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Khoo Soo Chuang speaks to Farah Zaheer, the CEO of Seraya Capital. Stay tuned for that. That's going to be happening in a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.